This is Mike Jacobs, my husband. Please be seated. And we minister together. I'd love him just to say hello to you, can hear his voice, and he'll pray for me. And good morning.
Hi.
How you doing?
I'm doing good.
Handsome. Okay.
Wow, this is an amazing time, an amazing season, and it's great to be here with you. You know, there are times when things are brought to your remembrance that you hadn't thought about in a while. And for me, when we were talking about the Joseph Company, I was remembering a time when Cindy and I were talking, and I said, you know, the study of Joseph is a study of a failure in leadership. And what do I mean by that? Well, you had the father of Joseph who did not understand the revelation of God. He did not support his son in the revelation that had been received. And it's always concerned me as a believer to understand that when Egypt understands and accepts revelation of God better than the body of Christ or the covenant people of God, there are implications that go through generations. And so this is the time when we've come full circle. The prophets are saying we're in a full circle season. And I'm believing that in this season, the leadership in the body of Christ, in the covenant people of God, will hear the word. Because if Jacob had heard the word and listened to the word and received and embraced the word, it would have been the children of God who prospered and not Egypt. And Egypt would have come to the children of God for the solutions of the famine. Think on that. So the reason that the Lord will send Cindy and myself somewhere is always to announce that God is getting ready to take you to a new level. When we meet with someone, as we did in some years ago with the man who was the mayor of Seoul, Korea, the reason was to announce to him, God is going to take you from mayor to president. And he did. I just want to announce to you, as I'm introducing my wife, God is getting ready to take you from where you are to a level that you've not ever imagined. And I want to announce to you that we're in a place in our nation right now where we need you to do that, and you must be one who understands and embraces the revelation that God is releasing in this season. Amen? And that's why we're here. It's for you. It's for you. It's for the new thing that needs to be announced. So Cindy, let me pray for you so you can just get into this. Father, I ask right now that you reach down from heaven, that you touch Cindy's lips, that you place your words into her mouth. Father, we don't want to hear just from a human. We want to hear from you. But we know that you use servants to speak your word. So I know you're going to do that this morning. And Father, for our part, open our ears to hear what you would have us hear today. Open our eyes to see what your spirit would have us see today. And we ask that in faith, believing in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, honey. Great guy, huh? Well, I was up early this morning praying, and you know, I was saying, okay, Jesus, I want to preach 15 messages. That's not going to be possible in 45 minutes, and we have to run to the plane. And I want to prophesy over 20 people. Okay, I don't know if I can do that, so I'm just really suffering for the message. I'm just, okay, Jesus, you got to just talk to me. So what I'm going to try to do, and I will see how it shakes out, is I'm going to roll a few of them together and give you filet mignon, and we're going to pull it from different places. I want to say to you that this word Mike just gave about coming up to a new level and a new season is for you. But how many of you have found that there's some warfare between? Amen? It's like the war between the promise and the fulfillment of the promise. There can be a battle in that. So we're going to delve into that just a little bit on some prophetic intercession. We're going to talk about some of those things and concerning some marketplace issues as well. But I am also a prophet. Now, when I was 4 years old, I gave my first prophecy. I went to my preacher daddy and my mama, and I said, I am going to have a baby sister. And my mother says, no, we're not having any more of your children. You are the last one, right? Wrong. She was pregnant with my little sister. And I always tell my sister, you really owe me for that. You know, you could have been born with rejection and all these issues. No, I was fighting for you. I mean, so I need chocolate, hot shoes, let's name it. You owe me. And I milk that for all it's worth. And, you know, I don't know, maybe I need to repent for something there. But anyway, you know how big sisters do to little sisters, right? And so anyway, and then I just started prophesying, and the Lord began to increase the gift. Now, let me tell you one prophetic story. And I'm a really unique person. I mean, I might be sitting at a table with some leaders and look at them, and we're eating chips and salsa, and I'll say, oh, you know the president of Ghana, don't you? And, you know, this was some years back, and I said, well, call him up and tell him the military's planning to coup against him, and, you know, if they'll pray now, that's all going to get fixed. And he called, and he did, warned him, and they found that out, you know, discovered that. Another time I was in Nigeria, and I was meeting with Papa Obasanjo, and he was the president, and I walked into that, they call the White House, the villa. So I'm walking in, and I see this guy, all these people are there, and I see this man dressed in white, and God speaks to me. He says, that man is planning a coup. And I didn't know who he was, but told me to go warn the president. He was the vice president. Now, he was just one of many people in that foyer. And so, anyway, you might have heard the story how, you know, they began to watch for him. Well, he was captured in London after he tried a coup with a suitcase full of about, I think it was $50,000 or something like that. So the prophetic is a very useful gift. Are we getting this? And, you know, I wanted people say, well, why do you call yourself a prophet? Well, I'm telling you what, mediums aren't ashamed, they're mediums. Why are we ashamed of the gift of God? You know what? In the Word of God, it says that when Naaman, the Syrian, was healed, they said that it may be known there's a prophet in Israel. I want to tell you, God has good news, and they should be coming to us to find out what he is saying for their future, because God knows everything. Amen? Some years ago, I was preaching in Miami, and there was a group of about 50 pastors, and there was a young guy, young man there, and I prophesied, called him up and prophesied about his life. And I said to him, the Lord says, go buy a synagogue. Well, how many of you know there's not synagogues for sale in every corner of Miami, Florida? That was a hard assignment. But he found one, and he bought it. And then this young man came to me. Of course, this is a short version. He came to me again, and he said, what's the next thing God says for my life? And I said, the Lord says, go buy a piece of property. You'll know it's yours because there's artificial lake on one side, high-end property houses on the other, and it'll be across from a gate to the city. That guy drove the city for 7 months trying to figure out where that was. I mean, it was like Jesus. It was a Jesus challenge. Anyway, so finally, he thought a gate to a city, oh, it's a regional airport. So he went to an airport in Hayward, walked across the street. There were 38 acres planted in tomatoes. There was the artificial lake. There was the high-end homes. So he goes to the guy and he says, I want to buy your property. And the guy says, well, how much money do you have? And he said, well, I don't have any money. But he had a word. Now I'm setting you up for something. Now you listen to this. Is there not a word? Okay, if God gives you a word, you take that word to the bank if it's from God. No matter what you battle, no matter what you fight, you take that word to the bank. So the guy said, well, 7 people have tried to buy this property. Why should, you know, I sell it to you? And so he says, well, you need to come up with, I think it was, I don't know, $500,000, $1 million in about a month. Now, this was a Latino church, you know, in that area. Latinos didn't have, you know, the reputation for really having cash on hand. Can I say that? So anyway, but he got the money. He bought the property. Then he came to me and said, what should I build? I said, build for $6,000. I even prophesied where the palm tree should be planted, the whole plan of what should happen. And then God said something so outrageous to me. I tell you, I was sweating bullets when I was given this word. And the word was, build for cash. But I'm telling you, that young Latino pastor that I met when he was 29 believed the word and he prospered. So Guillermo Maldonado built that building for cash. Come on, I want to tell you, nothing is impossible to those who believe. Amen? Amen. So God wants to take us to a new level. Now, that was a total setup. And you ask me, Cindy, were you intentionally setting yourself up? Yes, because I'm going to prophesy over this church and I'm going to prophesy over this city. And some of this, like, listen, if you hear this and you can say, that's for me. I mean, if it resonates inside of you. You understand, there's something that we could call like a spiritual resonance. It's the Holy Spirit giving you witness that that is for you. For the Lord would say over Living Word Church that I am taking you to a new level. Property, property, property. I'm getting ready to give you the increase. I will give you every permit you need. Campuses, campuses, campuses. The Lord says that you're going to build campuses around this city that I already have the provision, says the Lord. And the Lord says, I want to make the name of this church famous in this city. I want it to be famous for solutions, famous for innovators, famous for innovation. And the Lord says, I'm getting ready to do a new thing. God says, even in this room, there are people that are going to be on the Forbes list of some of the wealthiest people in Chicago, says the Lord. Come on, somebody. Why don't you say, I take it? I take it. It's mine. And the Lord says, some of you have had a spiritual ambition to be millionaires, but God says, don't set your sights too low. For God says, am I not able to make billionaires and not just millionaires? For the Lord says, I want to give the body of Christ the influence that you need to heal America and to heal this city, says the Lord. And the Lord says, I love the city of Chicago. And I look down from heaven and see how Satan is trying to stain the reputation of this city that I love. But God says, I'm going to raise up a new generation, says God. I'm going to raise up a new voice. There's a new sheriff in town. And the Lord says, don't you think I'm greater than the spirit of violence and the spirit of death? And I am hearing a cry from my people and from mothers whose babies are dead in the streets. And God says, I am coming with a wave of redemption to this city. And I want to do a suddenly thing where the spirit of violence and murder is broken. I am greater, says the Lord, and I have a greater name. And I will be exalted in the city of Chicago, says the Lord. Last night I was looking at the list of wealthiest people in Chicago, and I was deeply grieved. I didn't see one black face on there. I said, that is a crime. So somebody should say, I'm going to change those pictures. Come on. Come on. It's not about a black or white issue. It's about justice. You understand? This is about a people coming to a new level. It's about dignity. It's about something God wants to do to make things that are wrong right. I feel the Holy Spirit on this. You know, we can't just talk about Josephs. We need to be Josephs. The Word of God says in the Great Commission, go and make disciples of nations and to teach nations. So God will anoint you to teach in your area, to do what no man can do. This is sometimes we believe for this when God wants to give us this. We believe for small things, then God wants to give you great things. Well, I have spiritual ambitions that a mother and the Lord of you, as a mother in the Lord, for you today to say, come up higher. Make your dreams bigger. Don't limit God in what you will dream for. Put your hands together and thank God for that word. It's a great word. It's a great word. Hallelujah. We're in a battle right now. Have you noticed? We are. I mean, the warfare has intensified exponentially, and we don't come under it, but we are not ignorant. Okay, we're not ignorant. We don't pretend it's not there. We need to learn new strategies. We need to learn a new way to do what God wants us to do. And so that leads me into the area of what I call prophetic intercession. And Jeremiah 33:3 says, call unto me and I will, not I might, I will show you great and mighty things which you do not know. So therefore, it is possible, if God has given us a call or a word, to ask him, what is the strategy for that word? Isaiah 42:9, before the former things have come to pass and new things I declare, before they spring forth, I tell you of them, before they spring forth. The point is, some of us don't seek God before. We just get into something and we get into a mess because we didn't ask God how and when we are supposed to do it. We don't seek the Lord for his strategies. Many times we are tacticians when we need to be strategists. We're just letting life kind of, you know, opportunities or whatever kind of come our way. No, you set your course in God. You understand this? You make your goal and you will reach that goal. It's very, very important to understand how to be a strategist. Because if you understand strategy, you go up higher. Matthew 6:10, let your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as in heaven. Listen, if that is part of our mandate on earth to bring heaven to earth, how do we do it? Sometimes, you know, you're thinking, you know, you might be working at a job or you might have a company. Well, you know, if you're in a company, you set 5-year goals. You know where you want to go. Well, spiritually should be that way too, but also for influence. You see, as influence, as a woman of influence, you know, we have got to understand there is a path where we need to go. One of my ambitions that I have spiritually is that I want to bring 1 million Muslims to heaven with me. And God, and I'm very serious about it. God gave me this goal in 2001. And I began to ask the Lord, well, how do I do that? And I realized, you know, we have a television show and I think we're on potentially we could be watched by about 800 million people in different languages around the world every week. However, you know, I was saying, well, how do I, what do you want me to go do a campaign at Waziristan or something? You know, how do I get those million souls? You see, you got to be strategic. And the Lord said to me, do it through media. So at that time, we were not on in the Arabic language. So I began to seek God, how do I do that? How do I get on in Arabic? I didn't know anybody that had Arabic language television. One time I was going to visit Benny and Suzanne Hinn, they were speaking in Dallas, and I went over, and I'm leaving the building with a girlfriend of mine. We're walking out of it 1 a.m, and I had been confessing, okay, Lord, I thank you that we are going to be on in Arabic. I thank you, Lord, that you're going to open a door that no man can shut. I thank you, Lord, that you're going to help us. And so this man next to me says, well, I said, well, you know, what do you do? And he said, well, I have Arabic television out of Lebanon. I'm like, I knew this was my door. okay. And so, you know, so he says, well, do you have a television show? And I said, well, yes, I do. You see, this eye's being so cool. Inside, I was like, yeah! I mean, this is it! I was so excited, you know. And so, anyway, so we went on the air in Arabic in all 22 nations in the Middle East. And we have plowed in television. You understand this? I had a word, but I needed the strategy, the prophetic strategy to get from here to here. Are you getting this? So many of you, you're stuck because you don't know how to go from here to here. But the Holy Ghost knows. My Nigerian friends, the Holy Ghost knows, okay, how to get from here to here. Amen? Say amen. Amen. You got to help me preach this morning. I'm doing my best up here. Okay. 1 Timothy 1:18. This charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you might wage, what kind of warfare? I love it. A good warfare. If it says a good warfare, there must be a bad warfare. You understand? There must be some way you can mess up and not know how to do it. But the word of the Lord is like a roadmap. If you will take that roadmap, you will know how to do spiritual battle. One time I was prophesying in Guatemala, and the word of the Lord was the communists are coming into the north. See, I'm a prophet to nations. The communists are coming into the north, and they're going to try to take over. But the Lord says, if you will go deal with the poverty there and bring medical supplies and help them, etc., then when the communists come, they'll say, we don't need you. We have Jesus. So that word was just laying fallow. You understand? Somebody has to believe the word and be a doer of the word. You have to hear the word and do the word. Sometimes people only hear the prophetic word, but they don't know how to activate it. And then they get all mad at Jesus or kick the prophet. Don't tell me how I know that. But anyway, you know, because they say, well, you're a false prophet. No, you didn't war over that word. You didn't get the strategy on how to implement it. So finally, I talked to some of the girls, you know. I love you guys, but you know, if the guys won't do it, the girls can do it, okay? So anyway, I talked to some of the pastor's wives, and you know, they have large churches there. And I said, you go make that happen. So they said, okay. They gathered all together. They literally assign different sectors of the nations to another person and to each of the churches. So what they did is they took solar panels up to the villages in the mountains because they had no electricity. They didn't even know what a vegetable was. They began to get a strategic plan. They built passive solar houses. I won't go into all the plan. They built medical clinics, got the people in the villages saved. So when the communists came, they were saying, well, we're going to bring you medical supplies. We're going to help you. And you know what they said? Come on, you know what they said. We don't need you. We have Jesus. You see, communism is a counterfeit for what we should do in the kingdom of God. All right? So anyway, we've got to learn to wage warfare. Now, one of the wars we have is over wealth. Satan's had a lot of wealth locked up for a long time. Now, let me show you something I found very interesting. Ezekiel 28. Now, this passage talks about the original fall of Lucifer from heaven. And as you go in and you read beginning, I'm just going to kind of talk my way through this passage. But beginning verse 12, it talks about Lucifer being the seal of perfection, full of wisdom, that he was perfect. And then verse 14, you are the anointed cherub that covers. You see that? And then it's very, very interesting. Verse 15, he says, you were perfect in all your ways from the day you were created till iniquity was found in you. What was he doing that was iniquitous? Verse 16 is our snapshot. By the abundance of your trading, you became filled with violence and you sinned. He was in business somehow. We don't know, you know, what he was trading. Certainly wanted the souls of men. But if we see further up, we see that he was in charge of precious minerals and precious stones. So we don't know exactly what it was, but there's not just one place in this passage. It talks about iniquities of his trading. Verse 18 also says that. Do you defile your sanctuaries by the multitude of your iniquities, by the iniquity of your trading? So Satan has always wanted to lock up commodity stones. Like if you're in Colombia, the greatest cartels in Colombia really are the biggest ones, I should say, are not, you know, like we know drugs. It's the emeralds. Why? Because this is something of God's earth, and the earth is the Lord's. So Satan is a usurper. So he wants to take over the oil industry. He wants to take over economies of nations. He wants to take over precious minerals or whatever it is. You understand? Because he's a usurper. And this is what he did at the beginning. Are you with me? Okay, you with me? All right. Now, let's go back to see. However, there's some prophetic promises given to us. You can get a prophet promise from a prophet, but the greatest, of course, is what's in Scripture. Isaiah 60, very, very interesting passage. Now, look at some of this. Verse 5, it says, "You shall see and become radiant. Your heart shall swell with joy." Why? "Because of the abundance of the sea shall be turned to you." Very interesting, the sea in that time. Fishing was a very important industry. "The wealth of the Gentiles shall come to you." Then it begins after that to talk about different economic sectors that would have brought money. Camels, dromedaries, and so forth. These were things we see that God, that the Scripture is trying to tell us, look, I want to give you these things. Now, if we look, say, at the Forbes list, how many of those people are born again Christians? Now, doesn't that grieve us? What does that say? We are not doing our job. Satan took, you understand, by the abundance of the trading, and he locked this stuff up, and somehow we in the body of Christ have had a poverty mentality. We've had the spirit of poverty. So it's one thing to break the spirit of poverty. It's one thing to understand we need to come out of it. It's another thing to have spiritual ambition to make his name famous because we own the wealth of the world. Are you getting this? So if you didn't know that was part of your job assignment, you do now. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done. Where? On earth. Where? As it is in heaven. God didn't want Satan to mess with his goods in heaven, and he doesn't want it on earth. I'm telling you that. But because we have taught that to be poor is to be spiritual for so long, we have let the devil play in the economies of our nations for a long, long time. We better put him on notice. We are coming for our goods. We are coming to plunder your kingdom. And we're having a transfer of wealth from your kingdom to God's kingdom, because the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. We should own the gold mines, the diamond mines, the oil industries, the intellectual properties. You're getting this? They are ours. Tell your neighbor, they're mine. They're ours. Are you getting this story? So there's iniquities and iniquities and iniquities. Why do you think there's so many cartels in this? And one of the things that cartels know is they know how to work together in unity. Counterfeit. Satan's got us fighting red, yellow, brown, black, and white. We're saying we're supposed to be blood-bought believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. We still got a big mess of racism and junk and all this stuff. I hope that irritates you. I am tired of that mess. And I'm believing our generation is going to turn it. We are called to turn this around. We're called to have a turnaround. One of the things I do is I chair a group of prophets, 30 respected prophets we've been meeting since 1999 to get a word of the Lord for the nation. And this year the word was, this is the year the tide turns. So there are things in your life and they're coming against you. You need to speak to those things. And you say, you don't rule over me. My tide is turning. God is doing something. So you have to mix this message, I'm telling you, with faith. Don't look at the greatness of the mountain that we have advocated our role in the wealth of the earth. We can't even Get personal wealth. Are you getting this? I mean, my Lord, sometimes I just want to fall on my face and cry. And we say, like, let your kingdom come. We don't even know what that's about. We didn't even know the kingdom should come. Well, there's a present kingdom and a future kingdom. But our job begins now. The minute we're born again, we're eternal. You understand that? And part of our job is to see the kingdom of heaven come to earth. You see? And then Jesus can come anytime he wants. But we need to learn to occupy till he comes. We have not occupied. And if I can speak to the black community, you are called in this generation to change that. Who understands the issue of justice like you do? Come on. Yeah, there's a lot of stupid white people. You didn't know whether to laugh or not. Okay. All right. That should be a challenge. They can't keep you down. You see? You understand? Yeah, the power of God. Greater is he who's in you than he who's in the world. So we see there's been these iniquitous systems that have locked up wealth. Generation after generation. It's created poverty of soul. You know, one thing is we don't know how to read the word and apply it to our nations and our cities. Remember, we're commanded, I think it's Matthew 22:37. Put that up, see if I got it right. We're commanded to love God with our heart, our soul, and what? Our mind. How many of us know how to love God with our mind? To think biblically enough that we understand this is the manufacturer's handbook for the world. Are you getting that? The creator of the world wrote this book. I wrote a book, they might be out there, called Reformation Manifesto, where the whole book was on how to make disciples of a nation. Do you know this is a book of economy? This is a book of health. This is a book of you know, our judicial systems in America are based on this book. The three branches of government are based on this book. Representative government. You know, God took the children of God out of Egypt, and they were a people who are not a people, and gave them a prophetic promise and said, you will be a treasure in all the earth. Now, who was being, this was a prophet prophesying that. You understand that? It had to be prophesied. And then God, they're speaking to people who have been slaves for 400 years. And God made them a great people and brought them wealth. So don't be saying, well, you don't know where I came from. No, I know where you're going. Don't be whining. This is a no whining zone. Come on, somebody. Clap your hands. Let's just worship Jesus. Intercession is very important to break the power of Satan. Fasting and prayer. Jeremiah 27:18 says, but if they be prophets and the word of the Lord be with them, let them now make intercession to the Lord of hosts that the vessels that are left in the house of the Lord and the house of the king of Judah and Jerusalem do not go to Babylon. We need to learn to hear the voice of God for ourselves. And then we need to pray and intercede for others. It's very important to get a strategy, to be strategic. Right now, I've been watching America, and I've been very concerned. And so I felt in my heart, why don't we prayer walk the whole nation? And as far as I know, in the history of America, we have never prayer walked this whole nation. And so I talked to some other leaders, and we had a meeting after that. And right now we're in the middle of a campaign called As One, 40 Days to Prayer Walk America for Revival and Awakening. You can go on the site Pray As One if you'd like to prayer walk your neighborhoods with us. We're going to do 2 40-day cycles of prayer and spiritual warfare over this nation. Sometimes we have to soak a nation in prayer. So you see, but I got the word, and many of us are wringing our hands, or we might say, why is there so much troubles? But we have the power of God if we work as one, if we work together like we are. It's called a national appeal to heaven, to cry out to God. God is in the midst of watching us. Satan is trying to make us very uncomfortable about the future of our nation, but God. You see, this is the year the tide turns. And I tell you what, it's not a partisan issue. God is not a donkey, or he's not an elephant. He is a Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And we can make any party pony up and do what they should do. Doesn't matter labels. We need to say to them, I will not vote for you if you are for these things. Amen? I believe in the word of God, and that's it. We got to marry justice and righteousness. That's the foundation of God's throne. Amen? We got to bring the two together. And we have both. Somebody says, well, it's not just, and this one says, I'm not righteous. It's got to be both. It can't be one or the other. Now, many times, there is a word, Daniel 9, 2, and 3, and I've got to hurry with this. It says, I, Daniel, understood by the books the number of the years specified by the word of the Lord through Jeremiah prophet, the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Israel, of Jerusalem. Now let's look at this. There was a word, wasn't there? There was a prophecy by Jeremiah, and there was a time stamp on that, but it didn't automatically happen until what? Fasting and prayer to loosen. The next part of the verse says, then I set my face towards the Lord God to make request by prayer and supplications with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. Many times, sometimes we'll get a word. I mean, some of you, you're grabbing some of these words, some of these things I'm saying. I'll make his name famous. I'm going to be a captain of industry. I'm going to, you know, if we're going to be able to have the most real estate. You understand? If they, you know, you have to set high goals. You know, we're going to be the ones that sells the most property, or, you know, whatever you are, you should be famous for what you do. Okay, if somebody wants to look up, you know, whatever it is you do, whatever sector of society or business, your name should be at the top. Are you getting this? Because we serve the famous one. You're getting this? You know, but we don't even think like that. Why? Because that's influence. They ought to be coming to us. I'm going to tell you, we ought to tell these school boards, if you don't stop teaching that mess, we're not going to give you that $100,000. Selah, and think about it. You know why? Because that's what the other side does. That's what they do. Okay? They endow a chair at a university, or they do something like that. I hope I am lighting a fire under you. I want to tell you, there's a lot of people that prophesy, but I set my face to talk to the presidents and the kings of the earth. And I remember, you know, Mike was telling you this story about us going into the mayor's office of Seoul. But I want to tell you something. I asked to meet with the mayor of Seoul. See, sometimes I'll go into an area and I'll say, what is the highest level of influence person I can prophesy to? And I go after it. You getting this? You know, so I go to him and I'm sitting with him. He didn't know who I was from Eve. And so anyway, I go and I sit down with him. Mike and I are there. And I said, I am a prophet. Listen, why can mediums, you know, be on television and have all these TV shows and nobody knows there's a prophet in town? We're not taking our place as the head and not the tail. And so anyway, I said to him, I said, the Lord shows me that you're going to heal the ecosystem of Seoul, Korea. And I began to give some different economic churches. I tell you what, I can get in the spirit and prophesy economics, things about finance. I do not have a clue the definition of the words I'm using. My husband has a business degree, and he will say, you didn't even have an idea. You don't even know what a commodity is. But you would think I knew everything about Wall Street. I mean, I know more now, but I just get in the spirit. God knows everything. He knows all those words. So anyway, and so what I didn't know was this mayor had been the chairman of the board of Hyundai Corporation, and his specialty was economic ecology. He'd already uncovered a river by the Blue Palace there in the city of Seoul and made green spaces, whatever. See, God prophesied to the, you know, prophesied to the wilderness in people's heart. They say, if I hear that one thing from God, then I'll know God loves me. Don't be some boring, bland, anybody in the world could get that prophecy person. Come on, Jesus knows everything. And so, anyway, so then the next thing I said to him was, and run for president, you will be the next president. What I didn't know was his family had already been praying that I would go see him, even though he didn't know who I was, and give him the word of the Lord. So, you know, of course, he did become the president. And when he became the president, you know, there was a great battle over him becoming the president. But his wife said, I wasn't worried. I got my hair down. I pulled my prayer group together. Why? Because God had said my husband was going to be the president. It is biblical for the kings of the earth to have a prophet that talks to them. Okay, that is biblical. Nathan and Gad and David. Oh, I have so much more I could say to you. I want to read another Bible verse to you out of Isaiah 60, verse 11. I got to land this thing, but it says, therefore, your gates shall be open continually. They shall not be shut day or night. Now, let's look at the biblical language here. The gates should be open how often? In other words, let's read the verse and I'll tell you. It says, why? That men may bring to who? To you the wealth of the Gentiles. Now what happens is our gates of wealth open and shut. Provision opens and shuts. That is not God's will. You see, that struggle is not God's will. The gate of wealth should be open continually. You should be able to reach a place financially that the blessing of the Lord has overtaken you, so you're not going to be worried, or you shouldn't worry anyway, but you know, about your daily bread. You should have money to give away and money for influence. We are created for influence. That men may bring to you the wealth. This is the word of God. Now you might say, oh, that was just for them. Well, if you think that was just for them, don't ever quote Isaiah 60 verse 1. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Because, you know, you have to have the old enchiladas, we say in Texas. You know, it's either you believe that verse is for you or you believe that verse. You have to believe the whole thing. Now, I want you to stand up. I'm going to pray for you. Amen? I have been prophesying and prophesying and prophesying to you. One of the roles as the prophet, one of the jobs that we have, according to Ephesians 4 and 10 and on down, it says that these gifts, apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, evangelists, equip the earth. Go on down in that passage where it talks about the equipping. There's a next verse. Next verse. Go one more verse up. Yeah, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying. So that word edifying or equipping of the body of Christ also in this passage. It literally means katatismos, like to set a bone in order. So one thing the prophet will do is come in and give a word and snap that thing into order. Now I'm telling you, The influence of this church is increasing. You're going to have properties, campuses. You're going to have the influence. God is going to take you a place. I mean, I know the Joseph Company. I know you influence the world. But it's time to go higher. And it's time to choose what you want to do. You understand this? If you don't know where you're going, you'll never get there. So some of you, yes, you want to be a millionaire, but why? Are you getting this? Be famous, but why? So you can heal your city. So you can heal a nation. So you can bring righteousness and justice. So you can eradicate systemic poverty. Come on, let's believe for big things. We have a big God. Stop talking about being the head and not the tail. Be the head and not the tail. So you got to change your prayer life. Prophesy to yourself. This is where I'm going. The Holy Spirit is inside of you. Seek the Lord. What goals, what ambitions do you have for me? Every year, I say I'm going to win more souls than last year. How many souls do you want to win? John Sung, the great Billy Graham of China, every year would write a check to God. And he would say, like, this year, 100,000 souls for you, Jesus. Google him, John, S-U-N-G. Amazing, amazing testimony of the Billy Graham of China. There, I want to tell you what I know. In this room, there's greatness. I know this theologically because it's a promise. I know it's prophetically because God, the Holy Spirit, is speaking that to me. But you have to grab it. When I preach in Argentina in the revival there and at Claudia Fraser's church, they say, I take it, it's mine. Come on, is that yours? Influence, favor, prophesy. So, Father, I pray in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, that we will love God with our minds, which will be strategic thinking rather than being tactical. We're going to learn how to really love God. We're going to learn how to take everything to a new level, to prophesy this church is going to a new level of influence. But what do you want to do? What do you want to take? What do you want to change? If you don't know, you'll never get there. Stop griping about the educational system. Fix it. We can't abandon these inner cities. We can't abandon them because they're problem areas and move to the suburbs. I want to tell you, God loves those kids that are in the inner city. He loves them. And there are kids too. Prophesy to yourself that God is going to give you solutions for urban problems. Prophesy. And speak that this is going to change. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray over your people that you're now going to speak to their minds. That you're going to speak to them, give them dreams. That you're going to show them how to leverage their influence. How to go to a new level. Even where you are now, you have more influence than you know. Holy Spirit. Speak. Listen. There's such an anointing here.
Thank you. Oh. Thank you, Jesus.
Some of you have been stuck. But I want to tell you, what's in your hand? What do you have that can make a difference? Press towards the mark for the high calling. Dream God's dreams, but not just for yourself. For the Lord would say to you, daughter, I'm going to use you in a great way in the inner cities. I'm going to open doors for you that no man can shut. And the Lord says, I'm going to show you what to do. And you have seen the iniquity and you have been burdened. But God says, I'm not here to frustrate you. I have put you into intercession. But I'm also going to begin to connect you, says the Lord, with people that have answers and solutions, says the Lord. Put your hands together. Amen. God bless you. Why don't you turn to somebody and say, I'm going to do that. I'm going to become strategic. Come on, declare that over yourself. You got a new anointing this morning, and God wants to use you greatly. I love you. God bless you.